Do you hear that? Stop. Listen for a sec. That's the sound of background noise, and it's starting right now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. As always, super stoked for today's episode. I'm sitting down with Indigenous folk duo Burnstick from Manitoba. I love the songs. Honestly, they're just such a chill vibe, and it's what I would want to listen to, like, riding on a horse in the prairies.
That's so funny because we rode them on a horse.
Amazing. I knew
super
it.
Super not true. I would never. You would. I would. I would not.
I always like to just get the show started, though. I'll just let you guys tell me a little bit about yourself, your journey with music, the project, kind of your little shtick.
Sounds good. Well, I'm Nadia Burnstick. This is my husband, Jason Burnstick, and together with the folk duo Burnstick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually from Treaty 6 territory, so my mother is from Alexander, Glenavis area, Cree Métis, and then my father from Alexis First Nations, Dakota Sioux and Cree. That's my family there. So, and then I spent obviously a number of years there before I moved out that area.
So you spent a lot of time in Edmonton.
I'm originally from Edmonton.
Which is awesome. And then I grew up in this small town where we live now in St. Claude, Manitoba, and that's where my parents live. And we are raising our son here. And that started music here. I'm Métis, Francophone Métis. My grandma is Simone Riel, and her grandfather was Alexandre Riel, who was Louis Riel's youngest brother, and that's my Métis family. And obviously, all of the rest of my settler family are French. So I grew up speaking French and English, which you can hear some of on our first album that we did, like way, way, way back. We did a little lullaby album for children, and we had some French on there and some English and some Cree.
Some Cree as well, yeah.
Which was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing music since I was really little. And then when we met, music was literally how we met, and it was like we wrote a song on our first date. So that's how we started.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
On horseback.
Oh my gosh. So music has like always been part of us as a couple and as a family. So we've been doing all of these projects, and for us, it's not like, it's like an everyday occurrence. Like it's not like just a one-time thing. It's just music is just part of our lives, and so all of these projects that come out of it is just an ongoing sort of part of our life.
Beautiful. Well, let's start talking about your latest single that just came out not too long ago, Closer. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
I guess like the writing process of it, maybe. So Naughty had a really great melody line, some really cool lyrics, a really cool guitar part. Brought it to me, and I was like, and this is part of the process too. Like, it's super fun for me and super awful at the same time, because you get connected to the stuff that you write, you know, and that's how it is. And so we presented to each other an idea, whatever it is. And she had brought this thing to me, and I was like, I don't know about this. And so we started chipping away at it and tearing it apart. Love the chorus. I think the bridge is completely different than what it was originally. And then we just hashed out some of the lyrics and the verses, which actually happened quickly, if I recall, happened mm-hmm. really fast. And then we just started playing it, and that happened fast too. That was really quick. I remember that was a little faster than normal. It just made sense.
Yeah. This song just made sense when we were writing it, and it doesn't always, like sometimes we write and it takes a really long time, and cause we push each other really, really, hard and just so that we can get the best sort of song or the best lyrics or the best music out of it. And this one just kind of just was simple in a way. Like we were able to play it right away and fit each other into it. The inspiration came from I mean, we have a son, and our son is 6 years old now. And sort of looking back on all of these special moments with him, we were thinking back to the time that he was born. And we, like the day that he was born, we went to the hospital, and I remember I just wanted everything to be really, really quiet. But it was so overwhelming, and the nurse and Jason sort of like backed off and were like, "Okay, we'll let it be quiet." And then he was born.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Don't tell how it really happened.
Okay. I kind of told them to be quiet in not so kind words. I told them both to be very, very quiet. and so they were like, "Ooh, okay, we're going to back away." And so they let me be, which was nice.
Yeah.
But also, you were really snacky.
And I was pretty snacky.
And yeah. I've never like heard chips being eaten so loudly in my life. So there was that.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. And I learned if you eat chips slower, it doesn't actually make them any quieter. So just get it done.
Get it done.
Yeah.
But no, our son was born, and it was beautiful and overwhelming. And even that, it was so overwhelming that the nurse even asked you, like, "Oh, do you want to say if it's a boy or a girl?" And yeah. And you were like, "What? Where do I look?"
Where do I look? Yeah.
Which was hilarious. And so, yeah, it was just that overwhelming, right? That kind of moment.
Yeah, it was
and
incredible.
We remember in that moment just not knowing what we were going to, not knowing how to raise a child. We'd never had a child before, and not knowing how to be parents. And so this song, this new single, Closer, was sort of born out of that idea of like, in that moment, you just knew that you would do anything for this person or for this loved one. And it doesn't have to be your child, but it could be someone just really special to you. And you just know in a moment that you would do anything for this person. And so that's sort of where that was born from, lyrically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know until you know, right? Like you have your children and you realize like, holy smokes, you know, and it challenges you in all kinds of ways, like your own like personal views and what you want to share with them, how you want to share it with them. And, you know, even your stuff, you know, you bring to the table, like, you know, it kind of brings that, like puts it under a magnifying glass and goes, "Hey, you know, like leave your stuff at the door," kind of thing. And this is about them. And, you know, you give them anything, you do anything for them.
That's beautiful. We're going to play that single right away here. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the songs off of your 2019 album, Q1L.
I'd lose every battle. You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. We're sitting down with Burnstick, an Indigenous folk duo from Manitoba. We just listened to Closer, their latest single. Absolutely beautiful. But I want to talk about some of the songs off your 2019 album, Kiwa Now. First, let's talk about Every Road. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. Yeah, that's the first one we wrote, I think, right?
For the album, I think it was the first one we wrote. Basically, the first song, like I was saying at the beginning, that we kind of wrote a song on our first date, but it was more of like a melody. This was Every Road, I think, is the first song we ever wrote together.
Yeah, I sat down just, yeah, that's a while ago. But it was really about family. And I think for me, what I was going through at that time was my stepfather had passed. And I just remember, you know, you kind of feel, you know, grandfather time kind of like ticking a little bit and kind of looking at that. And, you know, just, you know, just thinking about family and what they mean to you and what they passed on to you. And I think that's kind of what I was thinking about when kind of looked at that song. And so kind of like, doesn't really matter where we go in the world or what we're doing. You know, at the end of the day, we're always coming home. And I think that's kind of what it came down to for me. And just, you know, I think taking your values with you as well when you're out there in the world. He taught me a lot. He was a good man and he's a good father. He's a good person and he passed on a lot to me. So I think that's kind of where I was coming from at that time. Yeah. That's what I remember from it. I don't know what you remember from it. What do you remember?
No, I think you came with a, like that whole first sort of idea and a lot of the lyrics for that first section. So I think for the first verse, and I think that just, it led to that little, not even a chorus, but a sort of tagline that comes back of like, every road is leading me this way and I will never be the same.
Right.
And that kind of just came back in the song. Yeah, it wasn't melodically, like it came together pretty easily, that one. I feel like once we wrote that song, we were like, we can do this. Because yeah. we wrote this first song together and it was like, wow, this is really beautiful. And then when our voices, because it was the sort of the first time we sang together in harmony like that. And I think at that moment we just knew, we have to do this. That's a good sound that we want to do.
Yeah, it was a nice sound, but it didn't really hit for me until we did Pay No Mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, there's something there. Yeah, figured it out. It's like, oh, my goodness. That's nice. That's nice. I like it.
Well, now that you mentioned Pay No Mind, I had that one on the list to play anyways. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about that song?
Yeah, you know, there's sometimes a tension and a climate in the, I guess, political world or political views, you know, in Canada at times. And people get painted in a certain light. Some information will be shared and sometimes it's not the entire picture. And people kind of have judgments around that, you know, just given what little information they have and or perceive what is truth or whatever it is. And I find like, you know, sometimes when it comes to like Indigenous issues, a lot of the pictures is missing and people just don't see the whole thing and don't get it. And the reality is that we have more in common than we do in differences, you know, is my feeling. And it's just like, if you just knew, if you only knew. But at the same time, it's just like, there's things where you want to put your energy into something, you know, something good. Even when bad things are kind of around, it's like, well, do I engage with this or do I not engage with this? And most of the time, it's just like, well, I'm going to not give this any energy and move forward in what I do and my way, and that's it. And choose not to, don't give it any time. So don't pay any, pay no mind to it. So that's kind of where that came from. And so I had written it on the Wise and Born. And I brought it to Nadia, not the whole thing, but just bits and pieces of it. And it's like, well, this is what I have for the verse, and I don't know what to do for the chorus, and I think this might be a bridge part. And then Naughty just went boom, 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 chop, 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 and then just boom, there it was. It's like, okay, we have another song. Yeah. And Naughty did the chorus, right? He wrote the chorus, I think.
Yeah, I remember we were in the kitchen in like our old house.
Yeah.
And this was before like Keanu was born. And
that's crazy.
I know. That's fun. So yeah, we were in the kitchen and you came and you were playing that. And you were like, and I was like, oh, what do you have for a chorus? And you're like, I don't know. And I'm like, you know what? It all comes back to us. That's what it is. Like all of what you're saying, it comes back to how we treat each other and how we, yeah. And so that the chorus, it all comes back to you. So it just, yeah, it comes back to how we treat each other in our relationships with others and whether we listen to each other or not.
Yeah. What you bring into the room, you know?
Like it.
Anyway, yeah, beautiful. That's what that was about. Yeah.
Another song I want to talk about quick before we play them all here, because I know it's a little theme going on with this album. Lots to do with roads. Roads We Choose. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Oh, my goodness. Like that one I wrote. And I wrote that a long time ago. I had re-recorded it, but we decided that we wanted to put that on that album just because we liked it at the time. I can't say too much about it because it's, yeah. So I'll just say maybe choose another song.
No, you can talk about it without specifying.
Yeah, you know, I think just like, it's not about like, yeah, it's just about relationships and challenging those things, how they can be like that, you know, like with yourself. With somebody else. And it's just kind of like, okay, it doesn't really, you know, matter what they do at the end of the day. Like when you care about someone, you care about someone through and through, and that's how there is. And, you know, you kind of got to find your way around that. And sometimes it doesn't always work, or it's just tough, you know? But it doesn't really matter. Like you can always care about this person. And that's really what it was. And I think that's about as much as I can say about that one. Yeah.
But that's it. It's interesting that you say that, because now, like when I think of, and this was always sort of how we worked it out when we saw all the songs that we were going to record on that first album. And even on the second one, there's always sort of a theme of family in a sense, or connection, community. It's not always easy.
No.
And I think that Roads We Choose is one of those ones that it's like, it's these relationships that we have with people that we love that are not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I see that one.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Where did you go about recording all the songs for this album?
Well, the first one, Kia and Now, we recorded different studios. So I think there was Privateer. Did we do the No Fun Club? I think.
Yeah, we did it all over. That first album was sort of recorded all over the place.
I think somewhere else. I can't remember where else. There's another place I think we made it. Anyway, and then we recorded some stuff at home. Yeah, and then for the second one, though, we really wanted that cohesive like sound. We wanted to get a specific thing going. And so we used the same players. We used the same studio. We used the same studio room. And kind of went into it that way. It sounds more cohesive. It sounds more like mm-hmm. like a full project. So that was all done at No Fun Club. And we on drums, we had Daniel Waugh, who's absolutely incredible drummer and super fun to work with. And on bass, we had Bruce Jacobs, who you may know from the Reichen family. He played with them. And he played with a number of other groups too over the years. Phenomenal bass player. Phenomenal bass player.
Yeah. So we did all of those tracks there, but then we do have our home studio. That's where we do all of the overdubs and vocals, and which I love. I love working in here. Mm. We're in here right now. We love this space. Like this is just one of my favorite spaces. Like we can just take our time. Yes. We're not rushed. A lot of times when you're in studio, you have a time limit, and it's like you never really spend the time to explore the different things you can do with your voice or the different harmonies, or, you know, you go in there, you do what you can, and then you get out and you like deal with it later. But here we can take our time.
Yeah.
with all of the guitar stuff too. Yeah, all the Wise and Born stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted layers. I wanted textures. I wanted to hear the tones of all everything from the vocals to the instruments to whatever. And so that's what we really focused on this time, was that those frequencies and just the feeling of it. So when I listen to, you know, some of the masters that we have now, it's like, yeah, that we nailed it. Like, this feels really, really good. So that was super important for me this time around, was like to get that together.
Right on. And so we're going to play your other new single at the end. I'm going to save that for the end. But Closer, are they going to be on a new album that you have coming out?
Yeah. So that's what we're, so this next album is getting released in May, at the end of May. The album is called Made of Sin, and it will be our second full-length album. So Closer and the first single that we released back in November, Warrior Ride, will be on that album coming out in May.
Sweet. Well, let's play the handful of songs off of the 2019 album, Kiwa Now. And then when we come back, I have a couple more that I want to chat about.
Time to listen, I leave with no regrets. Prairie skies to city lights, whisper things I can't forget. But you're always here to hear me calling out your name. Took me in storms that blew our way. They cleared a path between us, and we forgave each other's ways. At the end of our days, never forget what we became. And every road is leading. spread across the papers, laid across the screens. They say there's something coming. I say it's always me. I say it's always me.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I hope you're enjoying the episode as much as I am. We're sitting down with Indigenous folk duo Burnstick from Manitoba. We just listened to a handful of songs off their 2019 album, Kiwa Now, but I want to talk about a couple more of them. Because it was a really good album, and honestly, I am really looking forward to hearing the second one as a whole that's coming out in May.
Right on. Thank you.
First one I want to talk about, I feel like this song probably has some deep meaning to it, because I felt it in the song. Mother, Father, why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Oh, yeah. So that one was born sort of after... So I'll tell you the story. So when we got married, we were married in my parents' backyard, and the beginning of the day was really beautiful and sunny, and Jason and his family were sort of outside around the fire, playing like guitar and stuff. And it was a beautiful morning. And then as the ceremony started, so our ceremony started and we had, an elder, Winston Watani, and his wife, Jerry, who, were our officiants for the wedding, and they played a traditional drum song. And as Jason's family sort of came into the yard, and as they did that, the clouds like started rolling in and the thunder started going. It was like kind of intense. And like, you could like see the leaves, like, and people were like, oh, this is interesting. So we did like the whole entire ceremony. And at the end of the ceremony, once we were pronounced husband and wife, I was able to braid Jason's hair for the first time.
Which you don't touch an indigenous person's hair. And braiding their hair is like, you know, significant in Cree culture, where if you braid their hair, this is, you're now your partner.
So be careful whose hair you braid.
Yeah.
And so once we were pronounced husband and wife, I was able to braid your hair. And then literally at the end of the braid, the rain started like pouring. It came down so hard.
Yeah. Everybody just ran under the tent. Boom, 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 boom. It was crazy. Yeah.
So it was like super chaotic in that moment. It's awesome. Just like pouring. I've like literally never seen that much rain in my parents' yard. Like all of our photos are in like a foot and a half of rain or of like water. It just came down. Everyone kind of rushed underneath and, you know, like my brothers were like putting the like walls up on the tent, and then your brother was like,
he was helping out too.
He was helping out. Anyways, everyone was kind of helping out, and it was a little crazy. But now looking back on it, it was really special because in that moment, our families were like brought together under that tent. And like usually at the end of a ceremony, people sort of disperse and then kind of gather later. But in that moment, everyone was brought together. And now like looking back on it, I really feel like it was the Creator's way of doing that, of sort of uniting our families. And I think that that's important. I think it takes, family and it takes community for our relationship to work, for Burnstick to work as the music duo too. Like it really takes that, that support. And that's where Mother Father was born out of, that idea of community and family and how important that is for us. And I think it is for most people. And that's where that one came from.
Right on, that's beautiful. That was such a beautiful story.
Thanks. it was a good day, yes. That wedding day already.
And it's so crazy because it actually just cleared right up after that. The sun came out, the sky was blue. Just, like all the water basically went away. It was like another day. It was like so wild.
Yeah.
It's like one extreme to the next. But that's prairie weather, I guess, for you. Intense.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome. Well, another song I want to talk about too off that album is On My Grave. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one because we never ever like played that one.
We've also been working so hard on the new album that it's actually interesting to look back on the old album.
Right. Yeah, I think where I was going with that one, let me just try to find my words here. I think I was kind of thinking about like, you know, what if like we brought like an elder back from the olden days, you know, like historically, like from the 1800s or whatever, and brought them back to now. And what would they say? Well, how would they look at what we've done? And maybe look at some of the history in that. And I think, you know, it's touching just a little few things here and there, but I think when it comes to like family and community, they would basically lay themselves down to their last breath to whatever, you know, they would give themselves, all themselves to keep the family together. And I'm making reference to the residential school on that too, right? So, 60 scoop and all that. And so that's kind of what that is. And then kind of what we've done, into the environment as well. Like, you know, we're kind of really, really giving her a beating. It's like, you know, we need to take better care of her. you know, and to what cost, to what end, to what purpose. And you know, understand it's complicated. You know, it's not an easy answer, you know. And it's just like, do we really need to put everything in, like, as financial gain, and for what, you know? And, you know, on some of our travels, we kind of gone through, like, you know, different communities, and we see, like, houses or communities that were there, they're no longer there. Like, the industry is just kind of gone. Like, it's just, and, oh, my stomach's going really, yeah, really loud. I know, I heard that. good microphone. Yeah, and it just kind of like, it's just like, once the, whatever was there is gone, the community leaves, and whatever's left is just kind of, it's like almost ghost towns, you know. We see that, you know, you go around Canada, you can see that. And I wonder, like, how much damage was done before that, during that time, and then it just kind of, it's just gone. And that's kind of what that thinking was about around that, just that image. And there's like, there's an old mine on my grave. And this old mine is like, it's not being used anymore. It's just a, you know, an image that, you know, I kind of put together that wrote the song from. So there's an old mine on my grave, you know, like it's not in use anymore. We don't need it. It's like, it's already like, it's gone. Like, but for what, you know? So that's that. That's what that was about.
I really feel like when you talk about that, On My Grave and Some Kind of Hell, which are both on the first album, mm-hmm. like to me, they're like brother sister songs.
Yeah, for sure.
Like there's like a relation between the two, and they were kind of inspired by that same sort of idea or thought, but they came out differently. But I really think that there's like a connection between those two songs on the album.
Yeah, no, for sure. There absolutely is. And you know, you, it's not that you look for things to write, but sometimes just things hit you over the head for whatever reason, and you just kind of got to get it out. And that was for me, those with Some Kind of Hell and On My Grave, like those are those ones. Well, actually, Pain of Mind as well, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We'll chuck that song in the mix too. I probably have some time here. If not, I can make it work. Why don't you? I do make the rules on my own podcast here. I can make it as long as I want to.
Right on.
But why don't you tell me a little bit more about that song?
Okay. Well, let's get real. Let's get deep here. The title actually came out of Some Kind of Hell when I went through a little cancer battle in 2016. And when I was in the hospital, there's a whole other thing going on, but I was super, super duper sick. And I remember just hitting like the top of my nausea, like I couldn't be any more sick, and the top of my pain threshold, like I could not hurt anymore, like a migraine and back pain and everything else that you can imagine. And obviously from the surgery too, that physical pain, and then not being able to eat for, I think was like 2 weeks or something. So they're feeding me like through IV or whatever it was. But it was awful. It was in the night in a hospital, like, it's like a war zone. Like the things that you hear, it's just what you're feeling. It's really, really difficult. I can't even find the words to say what it is, but really it came down to that idea of like, this is like some kind of hell, like what's happening right now. And thankfully got over it and cancer free for, I think like 7 years now, 6-7 years. So I'm feeling great. Everything's good. But a little shout out to, you know, the medical staff at St. Boniface Hotel and
Hotel.
Oh, wow. Look at that. We don't travel at all. No. It was pretty much a hotel, but yeah, it was good service. I guess that's the point, is they were so good to me, and they treated me really good. And they were amazing at their jobs, and they are heroes in my heart. And I gave them a big shout out, and I will always give them a big shout out because they saved my life, and they just did incredible work. And I just want to say, hey, you know, to the medical staff out there, you guys are heroes. So that's
why I meant hospital, not hospital. Hotel.
Yes, not hotel.
Let's just clarify that.
There's some really great hotels out there too, but you know, yeah, we'll skip those for now.
But get back to the song.
And it was kind of like that thing where it's just like, hey, what are we doing in the world? You know, like, what are we leaving in the room? What are we leaving, you know, behind? And that's really what it comes down to. So let's not like look at the world, you know, in this, you know, empty town of nothing, you know, for what, you know, and that's kind of what comes back down around to that question again, you know, it's just like, what are we doing and for what, and what are we leaving for our, you know, future generations? And that's what that's about. So one of the, I think the last verse is like, I raise my hand, to those who gave the most, raise my hands to those who gave the most. What's the next line of that? I can't remember.
I have to sing it. Raise my hand all again.
Prayed from the cries of a child to their last ghost. So raise my hands. It sounds like an aggressive gesture, but actually it's a little shout out to, the BC Indigenous communities where when they raise your hands to someone, they're actually raising their hands to show them that, you know, a welcoming thing and a form of respect as well. And, you know, like it's a powerful gesture. And so that's what I meant by that. And then, you know, cries of a child to their last ghost. So from, you know, the, again, reference to kind of like the residential school thing to the 215 kind of thing, like to kids that have passed and we never heard about. So it's this kind of a acknowledgement of all those things. You know, just kind of pointing out those things out. And, so just kind of giving, you know, respect to those who worked and done something good in the world. So that's what that's about.
Beautiful. Well, let's spin those handful of songs there. And then we come back, unfortunately, do have to wind down the show a little bit. I know. Sometimes when I'm having like a really good conversation like we are today, I could like listen to you guys tell me the stories forever. And I wish my podcast could be like hours long, but I assume you're busy people and you got stuff to do.
More about me.
You're good at talking. I like it.
Awesome. Well, when we come back, I do have one more song to play. We talked about it a little bit, but not really. It's their 2023 single, which will be on their new album. But we'll hear about that when we come back.
You're my burden, the words that fell. You're the lion, the ringing bell. You're the tears each night she wept. And you're the ashes and all that's left. Whoa. dance through the water. And we'll see through the winter, through fire and ice, sun and snow. Our masterpiece will grow.
You're listening to Background Noise. Like what you hear? Follow us on Instagram at Background Noise The Show for links to episodes, playlists, and more.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Background Noise today. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. We were sitting down with Burnstick, the Indigenous folk duo from Manitoba. Man, you guys have some beautiful stories behind your song. I absolutely loved listening to them. Thank you so much for sharing them. Before we go, though, we do have one more song I want to talk about. Warrior Ride, the 2023 single, which you mentioned will be on your new album coming up. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that song?
Nadia and I, we wrote that for a documentary called Before the Sun, which is currently right now doing really well and making rounds and going all over festivals and things, film festivals. And we were asked as a group to write the music for this project. Typically I kind of do composing and writing for myself here and like with other film projects, but it's nice when we get asked to do things together. So this is one of those ones that we did. And so we started writing for this one. Nadia came up with the idea. The whole thing just kind of just started writing all the lyrics and then we just started hashing them together. But it really was about, what is it about?
Well, maybe describe sort of the film first so that we we can see where it came from.
So it's about a young Indigenous woman who is competing against men in horseback riding relay. So, it's a relay with horses. So there's like four horses and they jump from one horse to the next and they race around this racetrack. And it's incredibly amazing, intense, and dangerous. And the father is there in the story and the mother is there and her brother. And they're there supporting her. But it's just like, they're all kind of on the edge of their seats too, because they're worried about her. And it particularly focuses on the father, who's just like, she's always wanted to do this, but I want her to go to school. I want her to like finish education. I want her to do this. I want her to leave this world behind because it's a dangerous one, and it's about that journey and that kind of relationship. And it's this beautiful, powerful story. And I remember, when I sit down writing to it and writing for it, like how on edge I always was through the film and how like there's so much anxiety and this is awesome and being like, joyous and jumping around as well. Like this feels really good. So it's such a great film. So check it out Before the Sun. But I mean, you started the song.
Yeah, so we composed the music for Before the Sun and then this song was kind of born out of out of it being inspired from the film, that it's not actually in the film, this specific song, where you're right. Well, or some of the music is, actually.
The music is, yeah.
The lyrics, the singing part isn't
no,
used.
No, it's infancy stage, I guess.
Yeah, it was sort of more like, we were kind of just starting to write it. And, but it was kind of, we were so inspired by parts of her story. Please go see that movie, Before the Sun. It's so good. Or the documentary film. But we were so inspired by that relationship between her and her parents, and also just, and I guess from my sense, it really felt like, oh, I can really relate to watching our child grow up and not being able to be there in every moment to protect him. It's a little bit like Closer too, actually, in that sense, where it's like, we kind of, you know, he's out in the world now and like, oh, we can't always be there. And so I really related to that sort of part of that film. And that's where that Warrior Ride was kind of born out of that. And that chorus is like, eyes up, the turn is coming fast, eyes up, no looking back. Like, as they grow, we're going to have to sort of let them go. And so all we can do is, you know, the best that we can and give them the tools to be able to do that and put them out and hope they're going to be okay. And so, yeah, that's where Warrior Ride was kind of where it was kind of, born from too.
Yeah. Parts of it were shot in Enoch and in Calgary area as well.
Yeah. Of the film. Yeah.
Of the film. Like, so yeah, Calgary Stampede and Toronto area. Yeah, so it's got an Alberta connection.
Cool, yeah. I'm definitely going to have to check out that documentary now. You made it sound so good. I'm invested now.
It's good. It's so good. Before the Sun, it's yeah. Good, yeah.
It did really well at all the like film festivals and stuff. Like, yeah, it's really...
Banshee Hanus. Banshee Hanus, yeah. Like, she just did such an amazing job. Yeah, like, if you watch something... Even before music is in there and it already, you respond to what's there. It's like, there's this emotional, like, response to something that you're just like watching without music. It's like, holy smack. So writing to that was like, I wouldn't say easy, but, yeah, it was a really straight direct climb process. Like, okay, here we go. Here it is, you know? Yeah.
Good film.
Yeah. Wicked. Wicked.
Awesome. Well, before we go, is there anything else we should be keeping an eye on from? I know you mentioned the album coming out in May, but was there anything else?
We are, we actually have a sort of a live video or a performance video that's coming out of Closer, which was our latest single. So that's coming out, I think, next week, actually.
February 14th.
So yeah. That'll be, you know, on social media. Yeah, it'll come out on Valentine's Day. Look at us. and then we have a Home Roots tour in BC coming in May. So if you're in the BC area, check out those dates on our website. And so we will be doing that tour in May and then followed by some shows during the summer as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for sitting down with me today, sharing all your stories. It was so good, so beautiful to hear them. This is Warrior Ride.
Watched you lay so many times through the rolling hills, prairie skies held your place between the lines where the story's told. Thank you.
Well, that's all I got for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning into Background Noise. I had a blast. And hey, you know what? If you're a Canadian musician as well and you're thinking, I want to be on the show, just click the link in our Instagram bio at Background Noise the Show, and we'll try to set something up.